From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns saying hello to you once again, and welcome to the program that seeks to let the Bible speak. We're letting the Bible speak this week from Colossians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, and the subject is basic Christianity. I hope you'll stay with us for the rest of this program as we take time to look into what the Apostle Paul is teaching us in those verses. However, we start off with our daily devotional Bible study from Proverbs 20 and verse 12, following which we'll have our thought for the day from the Puritan Thomas Manton. Proverbs 20 verse 12, on the subject of the seeing eye, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. The eye is most exquisitely and delicately constructed. This little organ has tens of millions of electrical connections, can handle 1.5 million simultaneous messages. The retina alone, covering less than a square inch, contains 137 million light-sensitive receptor cells. The tiny muscles of the eye, milligram for milligram, are among the body's strongest. On average, they move about 100,000 times daily, bringing objects into sharp focus. A similar exercise of the leg muscles, for example, would entail a 50-mile walk. Truly, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. How precious is this gift of sight? It is preeminently the learning sense. We absorb an estimated 80% of all our knowledge by means of sight. So, believer, guard the eye gate and resolve with the psalmist, I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. If sight is precious, how much more precious is spiritual sight? The natural man is spiritually blind. The Christian once was darkness, but now is light in the Lord. As the man healed from blindness said in John 9:25, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. He was ushered into a new world, the world of sight, with all its attendant sensations. His experience strikes a chord with every redeemed heart. Yet, as C.H. Spurgeon said, he who sees most needs to have his eyes enlightened, for how little as yet of the glory of God have any of us beheld. Oh, that increasingly the Father of glory may give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. That's a quotation from Paul in Ephesians 1:17-19. And our thought for the day from Thomas Manton, God's mind is revealed in Scripture, but we can see nothing without the spectacles of the Holy Ghost. In each broadcast here on Let the Bible Speak, we offer some free literature. One booklet we mention is A New Beginning, and I'd like to say a word to you about it. A New Beginning is an updated version. By updated, I refer mostly to the artistic presentation of the material, though the text has been slightly expanded. It's an updated version of a booklet I first produced in the 1970s. Since then, something around 500,000 copies have been distributed, and the Lord has richly blessed it. The booklet is a plain man's guide to what the Bible says on the matter of how to be saved. With an abundance of scripture quotation, it's an excellent yet simple presentation of the gospel to meet the needs of the lost. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on to explain the biblical basis of assurance and to give instructions in the first steps of the Christian life. If you're not saved and would like help in understanding God's way of salvation, if you battle with the matter of assurance, or if you're a young believer needing help in the first steps of your new life, then this booklet will help you. We'll be glad to send it to you free of charge if you write or call and request it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. And our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS 1-866-877-5827. We trust that you'll be in touch with us soon, and if you need to have one, we'll be delighted to send you A New Beginning.
Oh,
Our subject in our studies in Colossians is taken from chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, the subject of basic Christianity. We're looking at three main words: faith, love, and hope. Faith in Christ Jesus, the foundational grace. That's what we're looking at today, and I trust the Lord will bless it to you as now we open our Bibles at Colossians 1, verses 4 and 5. You'll notice the use of the words faith and love and hope. Now, those are three things that are frequently brought together. You'll find that they stand together in the New Testament revelation. And any time you observe Christians, professing Christians, showing faith and love and hope, you should give the Lord thanks. Paul certainly did, for they are the essential graces of the gospel. I want us to think of these this morning in order, and I'll try to do so as simply and briefly as possible. First of all, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the foundational grace. In the New Testament, all Christianity, all Christian experience commences with faith in Christ. Until there is that faith in Christ, there is no Christianity whatsoever. That is the commencing point. By grace are you saved through faith. How does a man get saved? Paul told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What is faith? There are many definitions that may be given of faith, but let me come back to the most fundamental and the most simple. It was a definition used by one of Scotland's great theologian preachers, Dr. Brown of Edinburgh. And he said, faith is simply a sinner believing in Jesus Christ. Now, there are much more theological definitions that are very valid, and on other occasions I have given those and will no doubt do so again. But let's keep this as foundational as possible. What is faith? Faith is a sinner believing on Jesus Christ to the saving of his soul and to his going on with God. How is a man saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. There's no greater reason to thank God for anything in anybody than this. I've often commented when we come to Luke 15 about the rejoicing in heaven. There's a bit of a debate among preachers and commentators as to whose rejoicing is actually being recorded in Luke 15. Did the Lord Jesus mean that there's rejoicing among the angels, in the meaning that the angels were rejoicing, that they were singing? Or does it mean that the angels are there present, noting that the God of glory is rejoicing? I don't think that it's worth arguing a lot about. There's rejoicing in heaven. And it's interesting to note what brings the rejoicing of heaven, and how different it is to what brings rejoicing on earth. I think sometimes even Christian parents can go wrong here. We can buy into what's happening in the world so easily. The world rejoices at human attainment, at education, at wealth, at fame, at athletic ability. These are the things that the world rejoices in. And oh, it would blow a person's head up to some enormous size with pride at what is counted important. But you know, there's not a stirring of rejoicing in heaven when a man makes a million. There's not a stirring of rejoicing in heaven when a team wins the Super Bowl or the World Series.
I'll tell you what rejoices heaven. When a poor sinner repents and believes the gospel, and a soul is rescued from the jaws of death and hell, when Satan is robbed of his prey, when Christ sees of the travail of his soul and is satisfied, that's what brings rejoicing in heaven. That's what ought to bring rejoicing on earth. Let me tell you, the sooner we prize the souls of men and women, the better. The sooner we set our sights on seeing people saved, the better. The sooner we have this heart that was so much evident in the great apostle to the Gentiles, that he was rejoicing and thanking God for the evidence of saving faith. This faith is marked by certain things. It's marked by a soundness of belief. Now, in our text, Paul is speaking of what you call the grace of faith. That is the grace that enables a sinner actually to believe. It is a sinner believing that is in view here. It's not what the Bible terms the faith, that body of Christian doctrine. And yet, you know, when you look at this, you find that in the New Testament, faith considered as the act of believing always means believing in a particular body of revealed truth. And that's something we have got to understand. Paul says in Ephesians 4:21, the truth is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. So what Paul was praising God for was that the Colossians, steeped in paganism and sin, had heard and received the truth of the gospel, and they believed it to the saving of their soul. Now, I emphasize this because of the day in which we live. Nowadays, it's common to speak as if what really matters, and the only thing that matters, is that people believe. I'm tired of even so-called Christian commentators, evangelicals, lumping people together and talking about people of faith. What is that supposed to mean? These people of faith may be Buddhists, they may be Hindus, they may be Mormons, they may be Roman Catholics, they may be Presbyterians, they may be Unitarians, they may be Trinitarians. They're people of faith. As if the act of believing something religious was what really mattered, and the only thing that mattered. So what we have is an amorphous glob of people, the people of faith. Whereas in reality, in the New Testament, the act of believing is worth something only if the object of that faith is what the Bible sets forth. There is a body of revealed truth. Now, it's beyond the scope of this study this morning for me to go down all the content of that body of revealed truth. I'm very tempted, mind you, because there's a lot of people being accepted as Christians today that I don't believe biblically have the right to be accepted as Christians. And then there are even people who call themselves evangelicals, and they are taking it upon themselves to say you don't need to believe this and you don't need to believe that. I don't know if you actually read the sermons that are written by some local ministers in the Greenville News every week. I can't say I always read them. They're usually that boring, and I couldn't be bothered. But I decided to read the last one. Well, I take it was the last one. It's the last one I remember. From First Presbyterian Church in Greenville. where the interim senior pastor, a man of learning, and he had the strangest form of reasoning. Again, time does not allow me to critique his reasoning in any great depth, but if I were to follow it through, you could believe in nothing. He starts off with trying to say that the thing that really matters about this Christmas message is that God has become incarnate. I'm very happy to say that is the center of the New Testament gospel. God manifested in the flesh. But he was saying there are certain other things that don't really matter very much. For instance, the star that the wise men saw. And he referred to Caesar Augustus, who proclaimed himself God and the Son of God. And he proclaimed himself virgin born. And he claimed that there had been astronomical signs to back up his claim. And everybody knows that the Roman Caesars did this with some regularity because they claimed to have a place in among the gods. And so the argument from this minister was the star in the sky and the virgin birth, they are not essential. Then he made, of course, this is where the logic breaks down. Why would you believe in the incarnation? Why would that be essential when Caesar Augustus claimed that too? I get a wee bit worried when all these PhDs and all the rest of it lose their logic. They foist themselves as scholars on an unsuspecting world and then they throw logic out the window. You either believe the Bible or you don't. It's as simple as that. And this learned cleric told us, I actually happen to believe the virgin birth. He made it sound like it was a compliment to God that he believed it. But it doesn't really matter whether you believe it or not. After all, there are only two gospels that tell about the virgin birth. But Mark doesn't tell us about any birth. So why is that introduced? It's not mentioned anywhere else in the New Testament. I wonder what on earth Hebrews 10 means then when it says, a body thou hast prepared me. I wonder what it means then when Paul says to the Galatians, he was made of a woman, made under the law. As if there were something miraculous in that. This cleric said, the church, now we come to Presbyterian popery, the church in its wisdom has never said that you must believe in the virgin birth to be a Christian. Whoever gave the church the right to say anything about what you had to believe to be a Christian? It's not the church, it's the Bible.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now, that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.